Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
This morning is the first message of the year, and I rewrote this message. I think it's a record. I think I have four versions of this message. I was like, depending on who shows up and how many, if it was a snow day, I was going to pull out version one, and then version two is still on my computer. This says vision 3.0. How many need a 3.0 vision for the year? It's like 2.0, not good enough. We need a 3.0. Apparently, that was me this week. And I'm really excited to share this. We'll see how much we get into it, because when you have four versions of a sermon, you may not preach the whole thing today, all right? So next Sunday's Kids Sunday. I want to encourage you, it's Lava Sunday. Don't step on the lava. Don't worry, us adults, we can walk on the floor in here, all right? We're not that weird. Pastor Tom used to stand on the chairs. I don't, okay. But the floor is lava. That's the Kids and Youth Sunday in there next Sunday. So if you know a family that needs Jesus, invite them next Sunday, because it'll be a fun party in there. It'll be great. We'll pack the house out in here with the flag area and kids and everything. It'll be fun. But next Sunday, I'm going to be preaching a message called Childlike Boldness. All right? So it's going to be a good Sunday next week. But today, we're going to launch our vision word for the year. But before I do that, why doesn't anyone listen to each other on New Year's Eve? Because their words go in one ear and out the other. That was hard to say out loud. I'm not going to lie. Where did the chef celebrate New Year's Eve? Times Square. There we go, Times Square. Every new year on my computer, I have a folder that has the year. I have 2022, 2023, 2024. I don't know what happened before 2022. It's a mess on my computer. But after 2021, I started getting organized. And so I did the ceremonial act this last week of making 2026. On my computer. And there's something so bittersweet about it, because I know I'm not going to go back into 2025. And all the messages are in 2025. We've got event planning and worship stuff. And it's all the things for the church. So this, I put 2026 and I opened the new folder. But before we just go into 2026 today, I just want to celebrate some of the journey that we went on last year. We will do another ministry investment meeting for the new year if you call Thrive your home church. And so we'll be updating that soon with a date to go over specific testimonies and that kind of thing. But this last year for the message series, we did everyday hunger habits. We talked about the new normal. That was the month that I had Phoebe, not planned. Identity reset. We had resurrection hunters. Anyone remember resurrection hunters? We had Family Month. That was an amazing month. That's the first time we've ever done Family Month. We're going to do it again this next September. It's going to be good. And our word for last year, we had two words, but really we only managed to get through the first one because I had Phoebe. But it was hunger. And I had gotten a word from God from a pastor in Ohio that our community was going to be known for our hunger for God. And I believe that wasn't just a word for last year, that's a word for ongoing. So my prayer for us is that we will continue to cultivate that hunger for God. And everything we did last year was about getting hungry for God. And then the second word was influence. Our word this year is going to unpack that a little bit more. So I was talking to one of our church advisors, Ryan Bastris, a couple months back, and he mentioned the word bold. And it was as if the word jumped out. Sometimes when people talk, I see the words. I'm very visual. And it was like the word just like exploded right into me. And so this year's word is bold. So can we just say that word together? Bold. What does it look like to live boldly in 2026? The question is, what if playing it safe isn't really playing it safe? Boldness requires a foundation that can't be shaken, and we're going to unpack what that means. So my question for you is, what would you do if you were 10 times bolder in 2026 than 2025? Maybe even one time bolder. We'll do a little 1x. Maybe 10 times is like, whoa, what do I do with that? Let's try one times bolder. 10 times bolder or one times bolder. depending on your personality, right? In your priorities, in your marriage or as a single person, in your work or finances or health. You cannot have a thriving home without boldness. You can't partner with Jesus to transform our city and region without boldness. And you know, our church's overall vision statement is thriving homes transform cities. And a thriving home, that word thrive means to grow and mature. If you stay in this church, you're gonna grow, right? Because we're about growth in God. And so you have to be bold to grow. When I was doing more prayer ministry before focusing more on lead pastoring, I would meet with people, and I still do, obviously, but I did an internship at a counseling center, and we would meet with people and pray through past issues in their life. And we have a ministry like that in our church now called Connect Up. And so we would meet with people, and I learned from one of the counselors, she said, always thank somebody for being brave to take that next step in healing and growth, because to thrive is to be brave. How many know letting go of a past dysfunction and walking that process out takes bravery? And maybe you don't think it does, but let me tell you, when you're faced with the option, you got to be brave. It's a choice, right? Anybody who's ever grown has been brave. So this year, we're going to be walking out what it boldly looks like to thrive and to transform our region. We'll continue food giveaways and clothing outreaches and more initiatives here that we'll talk about. But I want to just review very quickly some statistics. And I've done various research for our county. It depends on where you're getting the statistics, so I will put that disclaimer out. But from what I could find, 78% of Tompkins County is unchurched. And when I did the initial research, I believe that's like North Korea or something. It was crazy. 78% is unchurched in Tompkins County. 18% is international. 27% move rate every year. When we reach someone with Jesus, it's going to go beyond Tompkins County. 38% of kids are in poverty in Dryden. 21% of adults are in poverty in Dryden. Ithaca is less, but 10 miles out, right? And most of us, because I know we're a regional church, we may not even be in Tompkins County. But I say these statistics because if you're part of our church, which I hope you are here this morning, we'll do outreaches, and usually they'll reach Tompkins County generally. So this means when you go boldly and you reach people with the gospel here, we're reaching the nations. You're reaching somebody that in 12 months might be in another part of the world. I'll never forget reaching someone here that went back to their country in Africa and became part of the government there. And they were right here, and they just loved to worship here at church. And so we don't know who we're reaching when we reach out for Christ here. It takes courage to have a thriving home. How many know living single on purpose takes boldness? How many know choosing to be a home for God and not a home for addiction or passivity or past dysfunction takes boldness? Committing to a marriage that isn't based on selfishness or past dysfunction takes boldness. And each of us are in a unique season as we walk into 2026. We're all facing unique challenges and things to overcome and celebrate. And it all takes boldness. So let's unpack what this word means. The dictionary definition says showing an ability to take risk, confident, and courageous. So what are the first words that come to mind when I say bold is our vision statement for the year? Some of us got really excited. We're like, let's go. Then the other half of us are like, maybe I should go on a 12-month sabbatical, which is not a thing, all right? I'm just saying. But boldness is not a personality type. Okay, this is really important we get it out of the way before somebody thinks it. Boldness is not a personality type. Now, some of us are prone to take risk, and that's not necessarily a positive thing, all right? And then some of us are more prone not to, and y'all probably married each other, I'm just saying, or our best friends or our coworkers or something, right? We tend to attract each other in our lives. But boldness is not a personality type. We often call bold people fearless. But there are few people in the world that are actually fearless, and those could probably be professionally diagnosed as crazy, right? All right, so boldness is not a personality type. It's not being fearless. This is really important we get this out of the way, all right? We'll probably talk about it a little bit more here throughout the year. I want to also reiterate, boldness is not just doing something and being bold about it. Sometimes that's stupid, right? Have you ever done something you're like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. And you're like, and you kind of feel bold about it. It doesn't necessarily mean that's a Jesus-inspired boldness. Sometimes that's the stupidest thing we could do. I say this personally, right? That's not always actual Jesus boldness. So if boldness isn't fearlessness, if boldness isn't a personality type, if boldness isn't a life season, what really is it? And some of us, when I said the word bold, said, you've got to be kidding me. I just came out of 2025 when I had to be so bold. I'm too exhausted to be bold again. That's what some of us also maybe thought. You're like, I'm done being bold. Can I have a year where I don't have to be bold? Well, the good news is you don't have to be bold. We're going to unpack what boldness is, and it's a fruit of something with Jesus, all right? You don't have to strive for it. You may have heard Pastor Caleb preaching on standing in confidence from Acts 4 recently, or you may be familiar with Hebrews 4, where it says to boldly approach the throne of grace. And in the Bible, there are a few different words in Greek, in the New Testament, for boldness, but two that stand out are actually related to the word faith. The first word, I am not going to be pronouncing these in Greek for you, means confidence or trust or being fully persuaded. And it's a word that's used before something else, all right, in the grammar. The second word for boldness is, it means frankness or openness or plain speaking or freedom of speech. And it's the result of something. So you have one kind of boldness that kind of happens before an action and the other that happens as a result of an action. And they're both connected to faith. Ephesians 3:12 uses both of these words. In Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have a boldness, that word is the openness, and a confidence, that's the second bold word, access through faith in him. So a bold son or daughter of God, according to the Greek words, is someone who is actively being persuaded by who God really is, standing convinced of who God is, open with God, and firmly believing God in faith. So when we start allowing the world around us and our circumstances or our past to persuade us or convince us more of who God is than the Word of God, or if we stop being open and real with Jesus in our relationship with him, if we stop opening the door, like Ray said, to have him in our lives, when we stop believing and relying on him, our faith is stolen and we stop being able to be bold. And it's so important because we cannot thrive in Jesus and our homes can't thrive if we aren't walking in that boldness. So I want to unpack this a little bit more. A sneakier version or a holier sounding version is, I'm transparent with God, but I'm not vulnerable. I'll show my heart to him, but I'm not going to let him change me. Or I want a salvation transaction, but I don't want transformation in my life. I like it my way. Or how about, I read my Bible, but my Bible does not read me. No application. Or maybe you're at a place where you're like, there's a God who exists, but that's it. I don't want him to be my savior. I don't want his voice having a say in my life choices. Or maybe you're in a place where you say, I talk to God, but I never pause long enough to listen to his response. I hate to say it, but when I wrote that down, I thought, ooh, that kind of hit my heart a little bit. So I was talking to God the other day, and then I was like, now it's time to shut up. And I realized, ooh, I haven't shut up in a little bit. I better shut her down and receive, right? Talking to God is great. Listening, better, right? So the more open I am with God, the more convinced of who he is I am, and the more I learn to trust him, the more I boldly come before his throne of grace, the more I can boldly walk on earth, right? So today's question is, where is your confidence? Because that first Greek word for boldness is defined as confidence, trust, or being fully persuaded. And that verb comes from a part of speech that defines it as an action before another action. So it's also the verb form of the Greek noun that is faith. I know that was a mouthful. If you didn't have your coffee, just hang with me, all right? But it's connected to the word faith, which I think is really powerful because faith matters, right? Today, the world often celebrates self-confidence. And we like to be like, oh, they're really confident, or I need to work on my self-confidence. If you've ever been through something traumatizing or very challenging, it's like your self-confidence just gets cut out at the kneecaps, right? If you've ever been through something like that. But the world needs more than self-confidence. We need Christ confidence. I was reading some studies of the word boldness in the Bible, and they use the word Christ confidence. And I thought, aha, that's the word for the year, Christ confidence. I don't want self-confidence, I want Christ confidence. We need an unstoppable persuasion of who God is and who Jesus is and that his grace is enough. Can I get an amen? The enemy tries to tell us we have to persuade God to save us, to love us, to see us, to do something in our life that we want him to do, when in reality, God is fully persuaded and never changing his mind towards you. The question is, are you persuaded of who God is? What is the voice that is persuading you as you go into 2026? The first step to walking in boldness is asking ourselves, what are the loudest influences in my life and what are they persuading me of? Can we all go back to high school and peer pressure, right? It's kind of like that, which I'm sure none of y'all had peer pressure problems. But what are the loudest influences in my life and what are they persuading me of? Some of us, it might be something in our past that we just can't get to stop shouting in our head. Some of us, it might be social media or just media in general. Maybe it's coworkers or friends. Are they calling you up in your identity in Christ, or are they just agreeing in dysfunction and tearing down negativity? Maybe the loudest influence is a destructive habit or an addiction. Maybe it's alcohol or drugs or food or sex or pornography. There's something that is a strong influence in your life and it's trying to persuade you of something other than who God is. But the secret to being bold isn't pulling your big boy pants up and muscling through it. And depending on how some of us were raised, I'm sure that was what was taught or by example. Like, well, suck it up and do hard things. There's this book called Do Hard Things, and Brian read it when he was a teenager, and he would talk about it, and I was like, absolutely not, I'm not reading that. No, thank you. I do enough hard things. I don't want to read about it. I don't want someone to tell me it, right? But do hard things. Just do it, right? The problem with that is a lot of the people that suck it up and muscle through usually end up with an anxiety issue, an anger management issue, health issues. Maybe it takes a couple years, and maybe it's hidden, but you end up all bottled up because sucking it up and muscling it through to be bold isn't enough, or Jesus wouldn't have had to come. Can I get an amen? So if you are facing this new year and you're like, you know what? I guess I just have to suck it up for another year. Going to muscle my way through every month, I want to invite you to look at this in a new way. John 16:33 is our key verse for the whole year. And of course, we'll have our monthly key verses we'll unpack in our series, but this is our theme verse for the year, John 16:33. I'm just going to read this verse, but we'll look at the context and we'll unpack this a lot more over the coming weeks and months. It says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart or take courage or be bold. I have overcome the world. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage, be bold, take heart. I have overcome the world. The entire foundation for living boldly in our faith inside our homes and out is in the overcoming person of Jesus. If there is anything you're calling boldness that is not based on the finished work of Jesus, it's probably not actual boldness. It's something else disguising, and you'll end up exhausted. Too often we read John 16:33 as a depressing verse. I know I have. In fact, I'm going to be real honest with you. When I felt that this was the key verse for the year, I had a moment with Jesus. I was like, John 16:33 is the, what kind of tribulation, God, are we going to, I don't want that, our key verse. Can't we have like the joy of the Lord is my strength or something, right? I don't want tribulation this year. What's going on here? And I read the verse like, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. That's how I read it. Is it just your pastor that reads it that way? All right, well, you came to the right church. I don't know if I'm the only one that reads it that way. But we don't read the second part of that verse in bold, no pun intended. Like God's overcoming is less than the tribulation. In fact, I looked at what that tribulation word means. I want to look at the root. Like, what kind of tribulation are we talking about? It means some cool things. And yes, I did say that. So we're going to unpack that and what that word actually means too. It's nothing to be afraid of because he has overcome the world. Are you more confident in the tribulation around you or in God's overcoming power within you? Are you more confident in the tribulation around you or God's overcoming power within you and for you and moving in ways you can't see? That's a real, raw, honest question that might convict some of us in some of our thoughts. There's a man in the Bible that lived out radical boldness, and I have 3 more pages and 3 more minutes. So apparently this is going to be a two-parter, so don't miss next week. I told you, I didn't know what was going to happen this week when I was really getting into this. But there's a man in the Bible, I'll at least get through this part, that really lived out boldness, and it's King David. Has anyone seen the animated film David? All right, I have not, so I'm like, this is not an endorsement. I'm guessing it's really cool. It did gross $40 million domestically, which beats SpongeBob. There is hope for the world. Like, we just give it up for Jesus here. All right. That got more clapping than worship. I don't know what that just means. I'm just going to put that out there, all right? But I agree, there is hope if it beats SpongeBob. But the spoiler alert is it's a PG-rated movie, and let me tell you, King David's life is anything but rated G or PG. Or PG-13, or R, I did say that. It is an intense story. His life is not G. I'll just leave it at that. Thank God they were able to kind of filter it down for the kiddos. I'll tell you what, we've read the Bible all the way through to Phoebe already, because it was like some shortened version, but I like to say that, all right? And we're reading these stories to her, and I'm like reading it like, oh, isn't that cute? And I'm thinking, that's really intense. My gosh, this isn't a children's Bible, because guess what? The Bible's real. It's not G. Anyway, because our lives aren't, right? Life is real. But King David is known for being open and speaking freely with God, not just privately, but his openness has set a level of vulnerability for millions of lives. Think about that. His choice to be bold has given boldness to millions of people. Your choice to be bold this year will affect more than just you. There are people waiting for your boldness in Jesus. Amen. Even generations to come. It was a habit that he set before his time as king, dating back to the fields where he worked as a shepherd and played his harp. I have a harp of David that we got in Israel. I was going to bring it this morning. Maybe I'll bring it next week. It's the coolest thing. It's the exact like example of what his harp would have been like. And he would play it. Right? And he played it for Saul as well. But Bible scholars credit David as writing at least 50% of the 150 Psalms, and he is specifically named as an author for about 73 of them. And a pastor I know once said, whenever I am dealing with something and I have no words left and I can't pray and I can't process, I read the Psalms until I hear God's voice in them. And it sounds really holy, which it is, but what it really is realizing King David was really good at processing real raw and then meeting God in the real and raw, right? He didn't just say there will be tribulation, because a lot of the Psalms do, but he said, but you have overcome. And the Psalms always say both. Last year in youth group, it was like my favorite youth group we did, we unpacked the Psalms. And man, I was like, where are all the adults in youth group? Because I want to do this. Maybe we'll do this activity in like a small group or something. It was a psalm writing activity. And so we had this handout that we'd gotten. And on one side, it had these prompts to like process through what you're feeling and what you're going through. And then on the other side, it had these questions and prompts to process how to encounter God in the middle of it. It's really powerful. And so Brian and I we're kind of feeling good about ourselves because we're like, this is a good activity. Like, we want to do this. The kids will love it. So we're walking around the room. It's the end of youth group. And I go up to one of the kids and I'm looking at his psalm and I'm like, bro, that's kind of depressing. Like, we got to make sure we end it like King David. And he's like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, you got to flip the page over. They're the prompts. And he's like, you got to flip the page over. And in that moment, I realized I was a pregnant youth leader that was also a lead pastor. We forgot to tell the kids to flip the page over. And we had like 15 kids who had written really raw and real depressing psalms. And they didn't know they should flip the page over and encounter God in it. And then I realized how many of us, that's where we're at. We forget to flip the page over, right? And we're real and raw with God. And then God's like, all right, thank you. You were real and raw with me. All right, now we're just going to flip the page. And now we're going to encounter me in that place. And instead we're like, well, that was a good prayer time. And we walk out instead of flipping the page over, right? Boldness is being real and raw and then inviting God into that place of real and rawness. What's interesting are there all these different categories for the Psalms. And Bible scholars mainly do hymns, individual laments or complaints, communal complaints, royal psalms, those are psalms that were performed for royalty, thanksgiving psalms, and wisdom psalms. I went into a rabbit hole. I found a Yale class on psalms, and I was like looking through all this. It was really cool. That was one of the versions of the sermons this week. But what I found really interesting is there were mostly complaint psalms. How many would go to a church on Sunday, like our church, if like three out of four of the psalms were all complaints? Now, at first, that sounds wrong, but it doesn't, because let me tell you the format that most of those psalms are in. There's the opening address, and then there's a complaint, and then there's a request, and then there's an expression of trust. Psalm 22 is a great example of this. King David and the psalms and the psalm authors, they never stopped at complaining or grieving or talking about their enemies. They always brought it to God. They always said, I'm not going to let this persuade me of who God is or who I am. I'm going to be real about it, but then I'm going to bring it to God, and God, I'm going to say, God, you convince me of who you are again. Persuade me louder than the voices of the enemy again. Are you following this morning? Psalm 22, I know I'm going over just a hair. Stay with me. Is that okay? I didn't stop to listen. But you, Lord, don't be far away. My strength, come quickly to help me. Rescue my life from the sword, my only life from the power of these dogs. I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will praise you in the assembly, for he has not despised or abhorred the torment of the oppressed. He did not hide his face from him, but listened when he cried to him for help. Psalm 22. He was real and raw. And sometimes he ended up in a real and raw, rough place. But he said, God, you are not defined by the circumstances, by my prayers that are answered or my prayers that are not answered. You are not defined by that. David shows us a raw, messy openness before God, not a masked, fake courage. Christ confidence matters. Because if I'm more confident in my challenges than God's ability, we won't have boldness to pray. If I'm more confident in my failures than in Jesus' grace, I won't have boldness to receive God's love for myself. If I'm more confident in anything other than God, I'm letting my courage be robbed. And let me tell you, the world has some tribulation happening right now. I'm sure your personal life has some tribulation happening right now, and we cannot afford to have our courage robbed. So why don't you stand on your feet? I want to close out with the famous story of King David, before he was king, obviously, with David and Goliath. Also, not a G-rated kids story. Just going to put that out there. I love the kids' illustrations for it. I'm like, woo, right? But David is Ubering 10 cheeses for his brothers. All right, this is what I realized. He's a cheese Uber. I realized it. A DoorDash. Is that called DoorDash? That's what it is. It's a cheese DoorDash, which my husband, by the way, would always, he loves cheese. My husband would be the one requesting the 10 cheeses. I don't understand it, right? And King, so David, he's anointed king. And instead of being like the warrior fighting at the front line, he's DoorDashing cheeses. Cheese. I don't know how cheeses. I don't normally say plural cheese in my life. And he's DoorDashing cheese to the front lines. How about a confidence like crippler, right? It's like he would be like saying his, if he was alive today, he'd be like, I am important. I am worthy, right? As he's like delivering the cheese, because his life is surely not saying that, right? And he gets there. And instead of letting that define his identity, he goes to God, just like in all the Psalms. And in 1 Psalm 17:37, it says, "Then David said, 'The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine.'" David had built so much Christ confidence, or God confidence, obviously, Old Testament, but Christ confidence in the hidden, unseen areas of his life where he met the character of God when nobody else was watching, that when it came time to walk in boldness, he didn't muster it up. He didn't strive for it. He just said, God, remind me who you are. And he thought about the times in the past where God had moved. And then he said, do it again. And that's why I love the body of Christ, because there are so many testimonies represented here where sometimes I'm facing something and I don't have a testimony for it, but someone next to me does. That's why small groups are so important when they start back up again, because I may come in weak, but someone says, hey, hold on. The Lord rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear. He'll rescue you from this. Right? David knew to flip the page of the psalm and see the character of God in the midst of the battle. Some of us this past year, I know we're standing, some of us this past year have been stuck on one side of writing our psalm. Stuck of one side, and we're like, I'm being real and I'm being raw. And that takes courage. But I want to invite us as a church to flip the page this year, and to be reminded of who God is, and to walk in boldness. Because when you know who your Father is, boldness is a choice that's easy. And I said easy, and I'm not making light of your situation. But that's why we're going to talk about childlike boldness next week. So I want to close with this last verse. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down. And that all his assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." I just speak that over whatever battles you are facing, whatever Goliaths are in this year. And that's what our 21-day journey of fasting that we're entering into starting tomorrow is about. So let's just close with prayer here. Jesus, I thank you that some of us came in so exhausted into this new year. And I thank you that we didn't give up. Even if it feels like we did, if we're standing here or we're watching online, we're still here. And you're still here, more importantly. And so, God, right now, I just speak refreshment, and I speak restoration into every soul, every nervous system, every person here, every home, every household that's represented here. God, we surrender striving to you. We surrender that voice that says, well, I got to suck it up and do hard things again. Instead of saying, God, all I can do is flip the page. Show me who you are again. Show me who you are again. So I bless you with the courage to flip the page of your psalm. and see God's character in the midst of your battle. I bless you with eyes to see who God is in the midst of any challenge you are facing. And I bless you with God's grace to overwhelm you more than any failure or discouragement. I bless you with the overcoming power of the finished work of Jesus in every area of your life that you will open up that door to. And I bless you with the peace that can only be given, that surpasses understanding, that goes beyond answered prayers and unanswered prayers in the way we want them answered. God, make us a bold church this year. Bold in you, not bold in our flesh or bold in stupidity or anything like that. God, we take risks in faith in you this year. Show us opportunities and make us bold as a lion. It says the righteous are as bold as a lion in Proverbs. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.